1st. The last few months have not been easy, to say the least. Stress has been high with the pandemic, the election, and everything in between.
And it's during times like this that we hear a lot about coping mechanisms like resilience.
Our next guest is here to explain how psychologists think about and explain resilience and how people can become more resilient in times of uncertainty.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about resilience or how to be more resilient? How are you finding moments of strength right now? And what have you learned from times when you've had to bounce back? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR.
Riga Ngurung is Executive Director of the Center for Teaching and Learning at Oregon State University and professor there of psychological sciences. Before that, he spent 20 years as a professor at UW-Green Bay.
Riga, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, so good to talk to both of you.
It's a pleasure to have you with us. Well, first things first, Riga, can you explain what resilience is and how psychologists think and talk about it?
Absolutely. So resilience is one of those variables that's part of a set of personality traits that we may have to varying degrees. And a nice everyday way to think about it is it's our ability to bounce back into action after stressors. So it's a very general kind of term. And whenever a person has encountered a tremendous number of stressors and seems worn down, seems burnt out, your individual level of resilience can predict the extent to which you can bounce back into action and still be fine.
How do we measure, Regan, and evaluate if I'm resilient or if I'm not?
So a couple of different ways. There's the you know, keeping your finger on your own pulse method, which in many ways, in some ways, is actually exactly that, literally that. You know, are you seeing upticks in blood pressure and physiological outputs? But more psychologically, too, it's if you find yourself getting irritable, if you find yourself just being worn out, having trouble thinking, having trouble even feeling motivated to get up and do something, your level of resilience may have been worn down, or you may not be particularly resilient at that time. I think a key thing to keep in mind is very, you know, there are validated personality scales and questionnaires out there. So you can literally go and find a resilience scale where you answer a bunch of questions and you can see what your score is. I think that's useful if you're doing research or something like that, but on an everyday perspective, we have what you have. And the way I like to think about it, especially in these last few weeks and months, is to make the distinction between resilience as a trait, something that you have at some level, and all those factors that could influence and work with whatever level of resilience you may have. And there are a whole bunch of things that I hope we can talk about in terms of what are those things you can do to make you more resilient, to buffer your own sense of resiliency.
And before we jump into that, Riga, I'd like to talk about a couple other terms that I think often get brought up in similar situations, terms like perseverance and grit. Mm-hmm. What are the differences between those and resilience as you see it?
So there's almost this group of terms. And when you said other terms, I was thinking you'd go with things like hardiness. Hardiness is another big one, and I'll get to grit in just a second. But when we study as a health psychologist, when we study somebody's resiliency, we're more likely to also study their hardiness. And I think hardiness is defined pretty interestingly, which is people who are committed to their lives, who enjoy challenges, and who have a high level of control over their lives. These are people high in hardiness. And you see that hardiness and resiliency really goes well together. And again, look at those elements in there, right? That feeling of commitment, the enjoying challenges, therefore you see things as challenges, and you have that control. Now, grit, grit is, in the last maybe 5 or 6 years, you've heard a lot been said about grit. Angela Duckworth's work. I think something important to keep in mind is as more research is done on grit, we see that even though there seem to be two parts to grit, and the part one is perseverance, and the second part is sort of a passion for a goal, the bigger factor in that grit is that perseverance, is your likelihood to sort of stick at it. And so really grit, perseverance, resiliency, hardiness, these are all personality traits that people will vary in the degree to which they have. And so if your next question or your thinking, oh, wait a minute, is it a roll of the dice? Well, to some extent, personality is what you're born with. But I also want to say a little bit about where it comes from. We know that there are some prominent factors of resilient people and resilient families. So, for example, having a positive outlook, being spiritual, having a group of family accord, being flexible, good communication. All of these are factors that can lead to resiliency, and something that can maybe predict you being less resilient is if perhaps you had a lot of stressors as a child or a history of stressors. That can definitely eat out at your level of resiliency.
We're talking to Regan Gurung, professor of psychology at Oregon State University, about resilience. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What helps you get through tough times? What helps you bounce back when there's been a down moment or day or month? Call in at 800-642-1234. So, Regan, it sounds like we're not just stuck with the resilience pool that we're born right with. How can we cultivate it?
So a couple of different things here, and I'm going to try and go beyond the, you know, but at this point in the pandemic, I bet listeners and all of us have heard the same old saws about what you should do, right? Oh, sleep some more and schedule and plan well and all that. And all of those still hold. All of those still hold. But I think especially when we look at the research on resiliency, we see one of the biggest things that pops up in the research is actually fine-tuning and trying out new coping strategies, because very closely tied to resiliency is the extent to which we cope adaptively. And in general, we can either approach a stressor or we can try and avoid it. And there is a whole range of so-called adaptive coping strategies, and there's also a range of maladaptive. And the maladaptive ones are ones we particularly need to stay away from. This is, tends to be the use of substances is a maladaptive strategy. Not talking about something or not facing something is a maladaptive strategy. But to get to your question, those adaptive strategies, those adaptive things we can do are more actively going out, sharing more of our emotions, being open to sharing more of our emotions. And I think something that I don't hear enough people talking about in these weeks and months is making it okay for people to say that they are feeling low. I think we gotta be okay with the fact that many of us are being worn down. And I think, far too often people think, no, put on a brave face and I'm okay. The reality is if we ignore how we're getting worn down, we're less likely to be open to going out and looking for some help for it. And I think, 6, 7, 8 months into this, this is that time where even the most resilient individual is probably showing many of the symptoms of what's called burnout, a word that, of course, is being used more and more. So as resilience wears out, all those elements of burnout, emotional exhaustion, and not feeling like, you feel close to the people you'd like to serve, feeling like you're not accomplishing things, those are all elements of burnout. You're going to see that happening more. And my key message is be open to it. It's natural at this point. The first step is saying, you know what? Yep, I am battered. I may be a strong person, but I am battered. It's okay to try some new things to get some help.
One of the things I've noticed about myself, Regan, is that trying to keep up the pace of doing the same things that I've maybe done for years in work or in hobbies or in relationships, that trying to do the same under the stress of the pandemic is actually feels like trying to do a lot more. Does that make sense from a resilience and a stress aspect?
Absolutely, because I think the nice thing about resiliency is that, you know, it helps you. One of my favorite phrases is rolling with the punches, and I think about that a lot. If you're resilient, you're essentially rolling with the punches, right? Life throws stuff your way. You're rolling with the punches. You're still getting stuff done. The problem, though, is when you have a chronic or long-term stressor, like we have for the last 6+ months, and when you add on more, like we've had in the last 6 months, those stores of energy, shall we say, or that resiliency, they get worn down a lot faster. So even though in a normal circumstance, let's just say you can juggle 5 balls, now with that additional cognitive load, with that constant weekly wearing down, even 5 balls is way too much, even 3 balls is way too much. And I think this is a time where something I try to remind myself of, and with a little tip of the hat to Thanksgiving, this is the time where we afford ourselves a little extra serving of indulgence. And I think that's probably one of the key coping mechanisms that I would go for is offer yourself, let yourself have that extra serving of indulgence. Maybe watch a little bit more TV. Maybe, you know, go for that dish that you'd really try to not go for too often. This is probably a good time to do that.
We're talking to Regan Gurung right now. He's the executive director of the Center for Teaching and Learning at Oregon State University and a professor of psychological sciences. He's with us to talk about resilience in uncertain times.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about adopting a more resilience-based mindset? And what has helped you through this pandemic? Are there things that you think you've done that help build up your stores of resilience and get over tough times along the way? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR.
We'll continue the conversation and take your calls next on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Right now, we're picking up our conversation with Regan Gurung. He's executive director of the Center for Teaching and Learning at Oregon State University and a professor of psychological sciences. And we're talking about resilience and how it can help us and how we can build it up during times like the pandemic.
You can join in with your questions and maybe your experiences, maybe your own advice at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Laura is with us in Superior. Laura, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. As I'm listening to this program, I'm working on a project. And I've been collecting leaves this fall and pressing them in books. And then I laminate them, and I'm going to be sending those to family and friends in Thanksgiving cards. And I normally send cards, but I think I've been writing people more and texting, too, just to stay connected. And I think it's really important to stay busy during this time, at least for me.
And Laura, I want to ask, you're keeping busy and you're keeping your mind focused on something, but you're also doing something that focuses you on, you know, your friends and family members that you can't see maybe right now. Is that part of what's making this a good activity for you right now?
Yes, for sure. I live 5.5, 6.5 hours from all of my family, and I haven't seen them since Christmas, and I'm not sure I'm going to be seeing them now, but you're right. This is a way to stay connected.
Fantastic.
And keep in touch.
Fantastic, Laura. Thank you so much. Regan, I love that. It's an activity. It's a way to keep busy. It's a hobby, but it's also one that keeps her mindful of her social connections.
Yep. Well, Rob, interestingly enough, there are right there in Laura's comment, there are four psychological must-dos that she's doing, which I just wanted to quickly highlight. I think, you know, when you talk about coping with stress and building your resiliency, something that you need to work on is thriving. How can we get ourselves to thrive? And to thrive, one of the key elements of thriving is actually building a focus on a task. And with that leaf collection and lamination, Laura's got the focus on the task. Another key element of thriving is focusing on key relationships. Laura's got that going. There's also the social support and practicing gratitude and doing good things. And all of those four in that really neat leaf collecting, laminating activity, all in one shot. Laura, well on the way to thriving and doing well in the circumstance.
Thanks for that call. Let's go back to the phones at 800-642-1234. Jeannie in Sun Prairie is with us. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. I love, love, love this topic, and I live my life this way. And, you know, every day I get up and I am thankful. I'm grateful for a lot that we have. And one way I have, I'm getting through it. I mean, basically, I saw somebody the other day. He's like, how are you doing? I said, I'm adapting. And humans are resilient. And you have no other choice but to adapt. And but one thing I've been doing is reaching out to women from my church. And we started a walking group because I really sensed, like, I'm the youngest one of the group, but I really sensed that a lot of people were living alone and they were isolated. And so I noticed people getting together in parks and distancing themselves and stuff. So we just talked about maybe the possibility of going to the park or maybe walking. So we've been walking for about 2 months now, and I'm telling you, we have explored some awesome places in Dane County, specifically the Upper Yahara Watershed walkway. Oh, my Lord. And the people are good. You know, they love it. They look forward to getting together twice a week. They look forward to communing with each other, which we all need. And I will admit right off the bat, I'm a people person. I was missing people bad. And
thanks for that, Jeannie. And I just wanted to follow up on something that Jeannie was saying about making sure that others are doing okay. That's actually been really good for me, Regan, is I, as Rob can attest to, I've been sending actual postcards and actual notes to members of our team and just letting them know I'm thinking of them and thanking them for their work. And I've heard that they appreciate it, but truthfully, I think I'm getting as much out of that as they are.
You know, and if I could just take that a step further, I think Jeannie said something really critical, which is, you know, she used the phrase reaching out. And I think even though humans are resilient, there is just so much variance in how resilient each of us are. And whereas you will look around even now and see some people who are still smiling or looking on the bright side of life, there are also many people whose levels of resilience are so low that they can't get up, that they don't feel like getting up. And I think reaching out to our friends and going, who haven't I heard from for a while? Who have I not seen for a while? Who's not come out on that walk? That's those of us who have that little extra bit of resilience. We really need to look out for those who don't. Because it's very, very easy to miss somebody, especially with the sheltering at home. And you may not see people as normally as you would. You may not be able to pick up on how they're doing. If you haven't heard from a friend, if you haven't seen a friend, or if you think that they're not really able to hit life with the same gusto and vigor that they once did, totally natural, completely natural, because of how resiliency varies. Reaching out now, really, really key.
Thanks for that call, Jeannie. We'll go to Kimberly now in Wauwatosa. Kimberly, hi.
Hi. So I would consider myself a pretty resilient person overall. I love to be balancing multiple things at the same time, whatnot. But I don't. Once we hit the election week, I just felt my resilience just go right down the drain. I've been unable to do more than a few emails at a time at work. Been kind of irritated the last couple of weeks, and I'm usually a pretty peppy person, but I don't know, I just feel exhausted lately, and I've tried indulgences. I've tried going on walks. I've tried just doing something fun out of the norm, but I was wondering if there's any, like, more advice that you would have for how I can get out of this funk.
Kimberly, thanks for that call. Yeah. And Regan, Kimberly, not alone. We've got multiple sources of stress out there right now. A lot of people in Kimberly's situation. What are your thoughts, Regan?
So here's a real, Kimberly, you put your finger on something really important. The people who are resilient, just like you said, you know, that you're normally resilient, here's something that the research suggests. People who are normally resilient very often push the challenges to a non-conscious level. So they're still experiencing all these challenges, but by virtue of that resilience, they're not actually paying as much conscious attention to it, which ends up really draining them to a great extent and them not realizing it. So especially if you're somebody who's normally resilient, this is the wake-up call where you go, I may not have noticed it, I may not be facing it, but I probably need a break. And that's where I go back to my extra serving of indulgence. Folks in Kimberly's position, force yourselves to take a good break from the business as usual, because that's where the issue is. The resilient person goes, oh, I'm normally pretty resilient. I can keep going. Oh, I should be able to do this. And then we push ourselves way further than we should, because all of that stuff is not as conscious as it should be. Boy, we need to explicitly force ourselves to take that that time out. It doesn't have to be that long, but taking a very dramatic break from business as usual is critical to replenishing the stores and getting back into the saddle.
Regan, thanks so much for joining us today and for giving us some really useful and important tactics that we can use moving forward.
You're very welcome, Judith.
Regan Gurung is the executive director of the Center for Teaching and Learning at Oregon State University and a professor of psychological sciences.
He joined us today to talk about resilience and how it can help us cope during uncertain and stressful times.